Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Today's word is called possessing the land. Possessing the land. Hallelujah. I believe that this is a very important word. Because if you look at the life of Israel, they spent a long time in the wilderness. And even before they went into the wilderness, they had spent 430 years of sojourning right from the day that Abraham received the word that out of him will come a nation through whom the rest of the world will be blessed. And God told him that you'll be sojourners in the land, strangers, aliens in the land. Abraham dwelt in the land that his children were going to occupy later on. But he had to buy a piece of the land with money. That means at that point in time, even though the land was his, he was still unable to possess it. All he could do was buy a piece of it. Amen. And at times you wonder why God does that. I mean, why would you put a person in a place and the land doesn't belong to him and tell him, I'm going to give this to your children after you. Hallelujah. But that's the way God moves. Because God is progressively moving the church and moving us into a place where we can actually possess the land. But there is a beginning to everything. Abraham had to be called out, amen, of the land of Ur, the land of light. But that was a perverted light. They were worshiping different idols and different gods. And God called Abraham out of that situation. Many of us were living our own lives, serving things that we're not supposed to serve. But now God has called us into the kingdom of his love. Hallelujah. And when we come into his kingdom, we become like the sons of Abraham. We begin to walk through the length and the breadth of the land. We first stake out the land. We first begin to determine what land it is that God has given us. The breadth of it. The length of it. As you come into the church, you are taught the promises that God has for you. You begin to have a better understanding of the one that you've called. You know, when you are saved, it's like getting a ticket to go to, like, let's say you go to Florida. You go to one of the waterworks, amen, or the theme parks. When you buy that ticket and you go inside, you can get anything you want. But salvation is like the ticket that enables you to enter. The Bible says you cannot enter into the kingdom of God until you are born again, amen. You cannot enter or come inside, amen. So Abraham had to believe by faith. The Bible says he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, even though we haven't possessed the land in its totality, we begin to just realize that we are part of a kingdom called the kingdom of heaven. We begin to walk in this spiritual kingdom. And let's look at something in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll come home, amen. Ephesians 1, the Bible says in verse 13, in him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, after you heard the word of God preached to you, it released faith in you to believe in the Son of the living God. It released a faith in you that the one that you are serving is able to take care of you. Amen. That he is the Lord. The Bible says the gospel of your salvation. Can we continue reading? In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has certified certain things to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you become a child of God, there is a seal. There's a ticket. There is an identity placed on you that identifies you to the kingdom of God. In fact, it identifies you to all the kingdoms of the world that this person is a child of God. You know, the enemy can actually identify Christians because there is a seal. You may not see it. It may not be visible to the naked eye, but it is there. The seal of the Father is on your head. You are his child and he is your father and his identity has been tattooed on you. Hallelujah. Right on your forehead. The Bible says his name shall be on their foreheads. Glory be to God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, verse 14, can we all read this? Verse 14, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance until the possession or until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So when you become a child of God and you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is your down payment. Hallelujah. You may not have $150,000, or according to the latest average, the now average price of a house is $180,000. Amen. They'll give you 30 years to pay for it. But usually there's something called a down payment. You are in the house. You are living inside the house, but the house doesn't belong to you. But the house belongs to you. But the house doesn't belong to you. You see what I'm talking about? The house is yours, but just miss one or two, three payments, and then the real owner will come knocking on the door. Hallelujah. Amen. It is, you're only there because you have a down payment. Your name is on the title. Your name is on the tax bill. You know, the address is in your name. But my golly, the bank has a title. And anytime they can possess it, they can eject you. You can be there, you just don't pay it. One day a sheriff will show up on your doorstep and say you're supposed to leave by the end of the day. Hallelujah. So when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, by the power of the gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Until when? The full redemption. Amen. That means there is something that is yet to be. There's a fullness that we are yet to walk into. And Abraham certified his covenant with what we call the circumcision. But now we are the circumcision, those who are of the spirit, hallelujah, according to the Bible. We are of the circumcision. Now, why does it say the Holy Spirit? I want you to follow me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. I want our sister Georgia to read that verse for us. You already have a mic. That mic is not, it's not up to par. When you finish, you can switch it back and forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 12, verse
18.
13. 1-3.
There are two things the Holy Ghost will do for you in this verse alone. There are two things that the Holy Spirit does. Number one.
For by one Spirit.
By one Spirit.
We were all baptized into one body.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one that puts us into the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are like wild branches that have been grafted into the true vine. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to be fused to the body of Christ. The Bible says we are members of the body. Amen. We are all members of the body, which is the church. And it's the Holy Spirit that attaches us to that body of Christ. Amen. The Bible says we are born by who? The Spirit. So the Holy Ghost is the one that really immerses us into the body of Christ. Now we can say, I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that isn't the end of it. There's something else that the Holy Ghost. There's another experience that the Bible talks about.
Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free.
1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one Spirit, we're what?
Baptized.
We're baptized. That's not the end of that verse.
Into one body.
Into one body,
Whether Jews or Greeks.
Okay, let me go to my version. There's something missing there that I want to bring up here. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And have been made to do what?
Drink
into one body. That is why there's a subsequent experience after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ called being baptized with the Holy Spirit or receiving the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you are immersed into the body of Christ, and now you are made to drink into one Holy Ghost. The Bible says that come to me all who are thirsty and do what? Drink. John 7, 37. Come to me and drink. And after you finish drinking, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living waters, which he spake concerning the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given because he hadn't yet been glorified. So the Holy Ghost is central to our experience, and for us to receive the fullness of the kingdom of God, the love, the joy, the peace, the righteousness, to walk in the fullness of the kingdom, we need the Holy Ghost. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but haven't received the fullness of the Spirit, are lacking something. Amen. They are lacking a key element of the kingdom in their life. The fullness is released as you finish drinking. You may have drunk just one cup. Maybe you have to drink two more cups. Hallelujah. Until you begin to overflow. Hallelujah. You will be made to drink into one spirit. Some Christians are drunk just a wee little bit. And that thing they have drunk is enough to keep them going for some time. But the fullness of the Holy Ghost will make you walk into the full possession of the inheritance. So the Holy Spirit equals down payment of your inheritance. Without the facility of the Holy Spirit, we cannot fully possess the land. Hallelujah. That is why when Joshua was coming on, the Bible said that Moses was to lay his hands on the head of Joshua and release the Spirit upon him, because he is the person who was going to lead Israel into the promised land, to possess the land. But he couldn't do it without the Spirit. Every time there was a war, every time in the Judges, when something happened, they needed a deliverer, somebody filled with the Holy Spirit had to do that work. Amen. And for us to possess this land of Dorum, we are going to need the facility of the Holy Spirit. We are going to need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to possess this land. And the same thing in every area of our life. Hallelujah. Now, I said all this just to get to a man called Joseph. Amen? We have just two more tribes to go, and we are done with this study that we are currently on. We've been looking at New Jerusalem and looking at the various 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. We've looked at Judah, all those guys. We are now on Joseph. Now, Joseph is a very interesting guy, because before Joseph came into the life of his father, Jacob, he was serving somebody else. But after Joseph came into Jacob's life, he started working for himself. Joseph is a person who will break every form of bondage. Every servitude to the enemy is going to be broken by this gate. When this gate is open in your life, instead of working for somebody, God will begin to bless you yourself. In fact, there was a time that Joseph was serving Potiphar, then he was serving the prison warden. But there came a time where he had enough authority to release plots of land to his own brothers. Amen. And God is going to do that in our life today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 30. For when Jacob went into Paddan Aram to where his uncle Laban was, are you aware that for 1 month Jacob did not do anything? Amen. It's like when we became Christians, you know, it was a wonderful honeymoon. Amen. After 1 month, Jacob went to his uncle and said, you know what? I can't just be here just loafing around doing nothing. Amen. I think this is a word for this generation. We have many people who are just loafers. You are 22 years, 30, 33 years, no job, going from here and there. Amen. Jacob wasn't like that. He said, let me do something in this house. What would you want me to do? I don't have any money. I want to serve you. And by the way, to serve you, I see there's somebody in this house called Rachel that I love. And Laban said, well, if you will serve me 7 years, I will give you Rachel. Rachel will be your wife. That will be your payment. So Jacob worked for Laban for 7 solid years. Within these 7 years, he hadn't married. Amen. He worked until the 7 years was over, and then Laban gave him Rachel. Is that what he did? No. I'm sure he dimmed all the lights that night. And then there was a switch. You know, if you go to certain markets in Africa, and even right here in the States, you see a nice shoe. They will sell this shoe. They will talk about this nice shoe. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You love the shoe. You try it on. It fits. It looks great. You check yourself in the mirror. Everything is lining up correctly. You give it back to the guy. I want this shoe. You pay the money. They put it in the bag. You go home. You open the bag. You pull out the shoe. Ah! Some chalewati. Some slippers. Why did he buy this? This wasn't what I bought. There was a switch. And it's done. It's a very common practice. So people, when they buy, they want to take the thing themselves, and they themselves put it in a rubber bag themselves so that there won't be no switch. Well, Jacob was drunk that night. Amen. And they didn't realize what was happening around him. When he woke up, he realized there was Leah. So he went to his uncle and said, why have you deceived me? I worked for 7 years for Rachel. Is a person that was said, no, in this country, we don't do that. We don't do things like that. Are you not aware here? You married the first daughter first. And then you can marry the rest of my daughters. That is the practice. Of course, he didn't know this at first. He didn't tell Jacob at first. So Jacob wasn't aware. Jacob said, so what do we do about this situation? Because it's Rachel I want, not Leah. Nobody said, okay, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. We can still work out a deal. You know, the banks are great. They can work new deals. With this mortgage crisis, they are working out more deals. I hear there's something called a reverse mortgage. Wow, that's like, whoa. There's a mortgage and there's a reverse mortgage. They will give you money. When you listen to them on TV, it's like, oh, now the house is paying me. That's like, wow. Someone does it. Let me read this a little bit more. They said they'll give you the money until you die. The question I have is, what happens when you die? Can your son possess the house? They say, oh, yeah, the son can possess the house if he can pay what we've given the parents. If he can pay it, I mean, you can possess the house. It's not a problem. But can you pay $180,000? Can you pay $150,000? The bank owns it. They can sell it to somebody. $300,000, they can be getting the money. Principal and interest. So Laban said, fine. Work for me 7 more years. And then I will give you Rachel. Hey. So 7 years of servitude. Another 7 years of hard labor. 14 years. But the good news is that he married Leah and he was given Rachel right there and then. In the 7th year, he received Rachel and received Leah. Same year. But then the deal was that he was going to work for 7 more years. So 14 years of hard labor. Some of us have been like that. You know, we've been serving God. And everything that we want from God is like, you really have to work so hard to get it. It's like, my God, man. The things we have to go through since we are Christians. Hallelujah. And many Christians are going through bondages and situations. And they are stuck in situations just trying to, you know, make a living, trying to get something to happen in their life. And it seems as if when they get it, then they lose it. They get it, they lose it. They always come to a place of ownership and then they lose what is it that they have. The reason why that is happening is that the gate of Joseph hasn't been opened in some people's life. And today when we open the book of, the gate of Joseph in our life, we are going to experience increase and possession in our life. Hallelujah. The Bible says you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that will set you free or open the door. Glory be to God in this place. Hallelujah. But let's go to verse 22. Leah has been giving birth to all the children up to this time. She gave birth to 6 boys and 1 daughter. That's 7 children. Then her maid also gave birth to 2 sons. And then Rachel's maid gave birth to 2 sons. But Rachel hasn't given birth all this while. Can you imagine how Rachel is filling the house? Can you imagine her own maid is giving birth? Leah's maid is giving birth. Leah herself is giving birth. All the women are giving birth. And she alone. I mean, I'm sure by now Jacob is looking at her funny. It's like, lady, what's wrong with you? You see how Jacob really harshly spoke to Rachel when Rachel came to him and said, give me sons or I die. And Jacob said, am I God? How are you talking to me like that? I'm not God. I'm not God who has closed your womb. So he's talking in a certain way to Rachel. Now, Rachel was the one that he loved. But he has changed his tone. Amen? Because the woman wasn't giving birth. In those days, if you're not giving birth, it was a terrible thing. Well, so she went to God and prayed. I'm reading verse 22. Genesis 30 verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. Do you know why God remembered Rachel? Rachel was praying and making a memorial. Now God saw the memorial. And just as he went to Cornelius and said, your alms, your giving, and your prayers have risen up and have become a memorial before me. Now your prayers are filling up a certain cup in heaven. And God knows the point at which the time for your favor is about to be released. Amen. And as you begin to pray and continue in prayer, there reaches a point at which heaven is opening up to you. A point at which whatever you're asking for begins to happen. But the problem is that most of us quit. We just quit praying for the issues that we need. And the Bible says, never faint. Men should pray and never what? Faint. Amen. Can I read on? The Bible says, she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So the word Joseph means he will add. Joseph, when you call in here someone, Joe, hey Joe, how are you doing? It means Yahweh, Yehovah will add, or God will increase. That means this is a fruitful person. This is somebody who is going to be always multiplied in life. Amen. In fact, if his son, Ephraim, the tribe that came out of his son, they could not find a place, a big enough place for them to inherit. When Joshua distributed the land to the Israelites, the land for the Ephraimites was too small for them. They were able to multiply easily. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So in 7 years, Leah has given birth to all her sons. And it's now that Rachel is beginning to give birth. Hallelujah. But we are going to see that this person was worth waiting for. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 25. Can we all read verse 25 together? And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. There reaches a point in your life where you have to realize that it's time for you to make things happen for yourself. It's time to stop hustling and struggling to make things happen for others, and a time for you to begin to enjoy something for yourself. Up to this point in time, Jacob doesn't own anything. All he has are the two wives that he's been working for. Now he has finished paying the principal and the interest. And it's time for him to possess. Glory be to God. There's a time of servitude in a Christian's life. There's a time where God will take you through certain things to see what is in your heart. Moses spoke to the Israelites and said, God took you through the wilderness to see what is inside your heart. Amen. But there comes a point in time when you are full grown and mature, and God begins to release that which you need into your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in this place. So Jacob is coming to a place and saying, no, right now, I can't keep on slaving away like that. I can't keep on being in a state of bondage. No, it's time for me to be free. Verse 26, give me my wives, give me my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have found by experience, the word there is divination, that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. It's very, very hardly will you hear that a Ghanaian has been fired. I mean, it's very rare, or that a hard-working person has been fired. Because, I mean, the Africans, when you go to Walmart, they will take the worst hours that are available. Amen? I can't work on Sunday. Oh, don't worry, give it to me. Give it to me. Just give it to me. I'll take care of it. We are hard workers. Amen. Glory be to God in this place. This man's service pleased Laban. Laban was not a normal, wasn't the kind of person who was very wealthy. But when Joseph came into his life, when Jacob came into his life, the favor of God that followed Jacob blessed him. Some of us, the favor and the blessings that God has released on us are not blessing us, it's blessing somebody else. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Because of you, your company hasn't gone under. Because of you, your company is doing well. Because God's blessing has to manifest. And if you are not having a place of your own where the blessing can bless you, it will bless somebody else. When Joseph went into Potiphar's house was blessed, right? When he went into the prison, the man did well. When he became king, Egypt became the most prosperous country in the whole world because of one person. Because of us, Durham is going to be well. Amen. Amen. Because of you, there's a blessing that follows you. And any place you enter, that blessing begins to manifest as a child of God. So verse 28, he says, well, Name your wages and I'll give it. Says Laban said, please don't go. You have been a blessing to me. These 14 years I've enjoyed you very well. You have been a great blessing to me. I can't let you go right now. I have found out by divination. I checked up with my own gods. And I found out that, my golly, you are the person who has brought this blessing into my house. Ever since you came into my house, I've been getting, my children have been coming out. My sheep have been bearing well. My cows are doing well. My cows are more. Everything I'm doing is doing well because you have been in my house. So please don't go. Hallelujah. Stay a little bit more. Stay a little bit. Just ask me what I should pay you. So Jacob said to him, well, you know how I've served you and how your livestock has been with me. Can we read verse 30 together? For what you had before I came was little. It has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? And I believe that is a question on most of our lips. When will I start having some money in my savings account? In fact, our savings accounts have become like a checking account. Every week you go there and say, man, I need this money. So you switch, you transfer savings to checking. Always. You know, and if you do too many transactions in your savings account, you get account charges, right? You see what I'm talking about? So you are never accumulating. You are never getting something in your savings account. Whatever you save is just to be spent. But it has to come to a point in time where you go to God and say, God, I need my possession. I need to walk in my own land. I need to experience blessing. Hallelujah. I mean, if something happens, maybe your car just broke down, you should be able to go to your account and say, okay, I have $20,000 in my account. Let me just take this amount and just go buy a car. Hallelujah. That is the way it should be. When the angels visited Abraham, he didn't have to go buying sheep. He just took it from his own flock. He has something there to give to the Lord God. And I believe we need to go to God and say, God, now is the time to favor us. Amen. Now the time has come for your favor to be released in my life. I have been working and slaving for somebody. And the blessing that you gave to me has manifested in the people I was working for. He said, when I came, you had very little flocks. Only just 10 chicken there and there's one sheep there. But ever since I've been here, these last 14 years, you yourself can see that it's because of me that you are doing well. But the question is, when are you also going to be blessed? Amen. Brethren, let us become the kinds of people who begin to place a stake in the ground for yourself. You need to go to God and say, God, I have been doing this 8 to 5 for too long. It's time that I also begin to get something for myself and my family. Amen. Is that too much to ask from God? Isn't God full of goodness? I believe God can do that for you. Amen. Because God blesses you as his son, as his daughter. The blessing of God is on you. Amen. Well, let's see what he says. So he said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, don't give me anything. Just do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the lambs, will be considered stolen. If it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. I like this deal. I won't negotiate anymore. This deal is good for me because there are not too many brown sheep there. There are not too many spotted and speckled. So I'll take your deal. Do you know what Laban did? Laban is a swindler. Same family. Remember how the mother of Jacob, Mother Rebecca, changed the attire? You know, Esau was supposed to bring a wild goat. But this woman was able to cook some nice food that tasted like wild meat. And told Jacob what to do. Put on that, you know, hair of the goat. Amen? And Jacob was also a swindler. Esau is hungry. He says, you know what? If you need this pot of beans, give me your birthright and I'll give it to you. So it was a family of swindlers. I mean, this family, anybody can swindle. Even the babies in a family can swindle you. It's a very dangerous family. Don't deal with them. They say, look up, you look down. And he went to his uncle, and his uncle was doing the same thing to him. The same thing. They're doing it to themselves. You know what the uncle did? He took the brown goats, the speckled ones, the spotted ones, and took them with him and said, yeah, do what you have to do. So there was nothing that Jacob could use to build something for himself. There are many people who have started to do businesses. And when they started doing it, they realized that the doors were closed. There were some big guys already there, and they put some barriers there before you can have your own restaurant or before you can open your own shop. Oh, you have to pay this insurance. You have to pay that. You have to do this. So yeah, when you have to go and rent a building, you have to pay $3,000. The question is, my brother, my sister, how much are you going to get in a month to be able to pay that rent of $3,000? You see what I'm talking about? So you are trying to do something for yourself, and then there are all these obstacles. Whatever you are doing, you are not benefiting from it. But today, I want to show you how to possess the land. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he put 3 days' journey, verse 36, between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob didn't argue with Laban. He saw what Laban did. He didn't worry about it. He went to God. A plan had to be hatched. Amen. If some of us had experienced what was done to Jacob, we would have given up at that time. Some would have given up, committed suicide. Some would have gone back to their 8-to-5 jobs. Amen. But Jacob did something that we all need to do. He went to God. We need to go to God and present our problems to him. Present the issues you are going through to him. Tell him, Father, I need this gate of Joseph to be opened up in my life. I need addition. I don't have to have addition and then subtraction. When you have negative and positive, is what? Zero. Nothing happens. You see what I'm talking about? But you need addition, addition, addition. Glory be to God in this place. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 37, now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And when the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the flocks, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streak and all the brown in the flock of Laban, but he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. Verse 41, can we all read it? It came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutter that they may conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Let's read the last verse loudly. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. The swindler is swindling the swindler. Hallelujah. You see how it's going on here? Jacob is not, he saw what Laban did. He just said, okay, all right, that's all right, that's okay. We have started the game. First round, I'm knocked out. That's so cool. We get back on our feet. And the guy started doing something very strange. It was something, you see, the Abraham family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they had perfected the art of taking care of sheep. I mean, they knew what to do. In fact, Isaac was able to dig wells out of, you know, rock. Just a rock, he could dig a well through it. In his time, without the kinds of instruments that we have today. They had perfected the art. Abraham had a lot of flocks. Isaac had a lot of flocks. And that knowledge had been passed on. So when Laban took the sheep that were supposed to be Jacob's away, he left only white, black, you know, any other sheep that wasn't like what Jacob wanted. But Jacob wasn't too worried about that. He had to create his own flocks out of what had been given to him. The circumstances you face in life are the very circumstances that God can bring about a creative miracle for something wonderful to happen. You need to go to God and say, God, I have a pot of oil in my house. What about it? That woman had just one pot of oil, just a little bit of oil. Elisha said, close all the doors and start pouring it out. God will use that thing that you have and change it into something that can bless you with. Amen. Amen. You see, that is how God works. When they were hungry, the 5,000 were hungry. Did God bring bread from the heaven and the bread just fell in the lap of Jesus? No. They had to go looking. And Andrew brought a little boy who had 5 loaves of bread, right? And then 2 fish. And that was what God multiplied. There is something you have. There is a talent you have. There's a gift you have. There's an ability you have. There are certain things that you have. God has blessed you with. Those jobs you have been doing, you've learned something out of them. Those things you've been doing up to this point in time, you have gained some experience. And it's time to go to God and say, God, turn this thing into something else for me. The circumstances may be such that there's nothing you can do on your own. God will give you what we call witty inventions. That is a gift of the Spirit. It's called witty inventions. Let's say, Father, grant me witty inventions in the name of Jesus. I mean, how come? Think about it. I'm holding a mic in my hand. There is no cord. There's nothing attached to this thing. Yet my voice is amplified. My goodness, people are wild. You know, you can go to the net, Google a house, and you can see a house in another country. You can see even the bush around the house. Somebody had to come up with this idea. And that's not even cars can run on water. That's what I hear. That water. How water can be used to make a car run. People are able to come up with ideas by the inspiration of God. So there were certain things that they used to do. Hallelujah. One guy was telling me about a sickness he had back in his country. He had that sickness for a long time. He went to a village somewhere. And then somebody that he didn't know, he was talking with a guy. The guy said, oh, this is the problem you have. Just eat. Just take that leaf. Take that leaf, eat it. The guy said, as soon as he took that leaf, that problem was gone forever. He never experienced that sickness ever again. You see, there are things out there that if you allow God, He will bring some creative juices out of your life. Hallelujah. God created out of the invisible realm. The invisible realm has all the material that we need to see creative things happen in our life today. And I want us to see what really happened to make Jacob have the kind of sheep that he needed. Jacob may have thought that, his own wisdom or his own abilities was making things happen. The tricks that his father taught him. But let's find out what really did happen. Let's go to chapter 31. Jacob has realized that Laban is no longer favoring him. In fact, the sons of Laban are saying that, my goodness, this guy that our father brought home has taken all the flocks. He's taken everything from our father. Look at how rich he has become. Look at how big he is now. Look at him. This guy, you come into a house, you don't have anything. You came with just a suitcase with nothing in it except a sponge and soap. That was all you had. Look at all the things you have now. And then Jacob realized that there was a problem. So he decided that it's time to leave. Amen. He called his 2 wives. God spoke to him. Verse 3. Genesis 31 verse 3. The Lord spoke to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and your own family and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. He said to them, I see your father's countenance. It is not favorable to me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. That means that there's more to this story that we don't even know. Every time that it was time to do an accounting, Laban will switch the wages again. In spite of that, this man still prospered. You see, all this happened as soon as Joseph was born. When Joseph landed in that family, nothing that Laban did could affect the father. Do you realize what I'm talking about? There was a blessing on this boy. And this blessing was wonderful. Why do you think the father gave Joseph the coat of many colors? Why do you think that Joseph was his favorite son? He realized that this boy has been a blessing to me. Amen. And just as Joseph was a blessing to his family, God has chosen us to be a blessing to our land and to our own families. Hallelujah. Verse 8. If he said, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. If he said, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Now verse 10, let's read verse 10. It happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, come and read. Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Glory be to God in this place. The only way you can have a speckled goat or a speckled lamb is for the ram or even the ewe, that's a female sheep or female, you know, to have that same features. White, have you ever seen a white father and a white mother, unless something happened? A white mother and a white father giving birth to a black child? It doesn't happen that way, unless something happened. Amen. Neither will you see a black man and a black woman giving birth to a totally white person, unless something happened. Amen. Hallelujah. So for that to happen, something transpired in the spiritual realm. Brethren, our blessings are lodged and located in the spiritual heavenlies. Sister Hart, could you read Ephesians 1 verse 3 for us? The location of our blessings, the location of our blessing is not physical. It's not here and now. It's not a chair you are sitting on. It is somewhere else. It's in another hemisphere. It's what we call the celestial hemisphere. The Bible says that when you give your tithes and offerings to God, where will the blessing come from? God will open the windows of the earth, heaven, and then will pour out of that place blessings. Can you give the mic to her to read? Ephesians 1 verse 3.
Now we praise God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms.
Hallelujah. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing where? In the heavenly realms. And we pray, let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Are you understanding me? So whatever you need to succeed on this earth space that we are in is located in the heavenly realms. And we just need to understand how to tap into those glory realms and bring and yank that glory to our place. That is where we need to be. That is what we are in church for today. How can I bring that glory down? Hallelujah. How can I cause this to happen? Jacob thought that all those 6 years that he was having all these wonderful flocks, he thought it was by his own swindling ability. But it wasn't. Something happened in the spiritual realm. God supernaturally did something to the DNA of the male sheep and the male goats. And I believe the male cows or bulls. Somewhere, somehow, these bulls became like Adam. You know, Adam had every color in him. Amen. For him to have been the father of all, or even Noah. I hope you understand me. You know, Noah had Shem. Noah had Japheth. And Noah had Ham. Ham was black. Or had his descendants. Put the Lubim, Mizraim. Those were blacks. Japheth, white. Shem, the Arabs. How could one person give birth to totally different people? Because his DNA had every color in it. Joseph was given a coat of many colors. God has given to us the ability to preach the gospel to all nations. We need every color in our body. Hallelujah. Our ministry must be multifaceted. We cannot target just one race. Are you understand what I'm saying? People must come in from any race and be able to enjoy the services and feel a part of what we're doing here. Are you understand what I'm saying? And it will happen. But you look at these goats. Their DNA was such that if Laban changed the wages to only the spotted, they give birth only spotted. Laban's like, what? This guy must have a lot of charms, a lot of juju. This guy must be really having a lot of bad stuff going on in his life. But that wasn't the case. It was God who was doing all that for him. You can apply this principle in your life. Whatever investments you have, you can pray over them. Father, I don't know much about this small stock or small cap companies and this large cap companies, and maybe that company may fall tomorrow. I don't know. You know everything. Father, this $100 I'll put down, let it become 1,000. Amen. You can pray to God and yank some of these things down.